Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel recorded by Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Take your Bible and let's read a few verses together this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Our Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now these words are the conclusion to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. He gives to us this very powerful statement concerning the day of judgment, in which the righteous judge shall reveal the secrets of men's souls and divide the sheep from the goats. In that day, that last great day, that awesome, terrible day of judgment, how will the things you consider precious appear in that day? How will they be valued in that day? Your riches, your successes, your popularity, the pleasures you enjoy, should all be viewed in the light of that day. We should regard and esteem everything in this life as it will appear in that day. Now this is the great acid test of our religion. All those who choose to stand upon their own merit, works, and deeds will be terribly disappointed in that day. He will say to them, "I never knew you." Even though they proclaimed that they had good works and done many things in the name of the Lord, he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." All those who by God's almighty grace, who were made creatures, new creatures in Christ, who were made willing to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of His power, to look to Him, to love Him, and to trust Him for salvation, righteousness and spiritual life, are those who have been made to do the will of the Father, who shall enter into glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Those who doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, they shall enter in." Now, my friend, this is a very serious subject this morning. I hope you will prayerfully consider the day of judgment. I want to be accepted of God in that day, don't you? I want to stand before God and hear Him say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord." I don't want to hear Him say in that day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It says in verse 21 of our text, "He that doeth the will of my Father." Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now I want to know what that is, and I want to do His will. I think we have a good indication of what that is in John chapter 6, if you'd like to turn over there. John chapter 6, verse 40. Our Lord said, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son with eyes of faith, with eyes of understanding, being enlightened of God, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." That causes me in my heart to cry out unto God, "Lord, give me faith. Give me eyes that I might see the Lord Jesus Christ." If you by His grace esteem the Lord Jesus Christ to be all your salvation now, He certainly will be made unto you salvation in that day and present you before God holy, harmless, undefiled, and separated from all sin, being made perfect in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this text reveals unto us at least three things. The first one is this: there will be many in that day to whom the Lord will say, "I never knew you, depart from me," who were very religious, who went a long way in religion, and who were very successful in their religious efforts. Now let's look at several things on this first point. We see here first that these people made an open profession of Him. They said, "Lord, Lord." They were not ashamed to own Him as Lord. But sadly, they only confessed with their mouth Him to be Lord, but never bowed to Him and owned Him in their heart as Lord and Master. You see, my friend, salvation is a heart work. Let us be careful that we have not made this fatal mistake. Religion without Christ in you, the hope of glory, is condemnation. I just don't want to be religious outwardly. I want to know Christ in my heart, in my soul, and have Him dwell within me in the Holy Spirit. Secondly is this. These people had performed religious works in His name. Now notice what they say in verse 22 of Matthew 7. Many will say unto me in that day, have we not preached in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name I've done many wonderful works. Now, you see their performance before men in the name of the Lord. Now, they said that we have preached in thy name. Now, if preaching could save a man, Judas would not be damned. Our Lord said this, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:1. He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not the love of Christ, have not love, or have not Christ, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Preaching is no guarantee of glory. But you say, well, I've preached to thousands in the name of the Lord. The fact that we've been preachers is not a ticket to salvation. Judas was a preacher, wasn't he? Went out and hanged himself. Here's something else these folks said that they did. Not only did they preach, they said, Lord, we've cast out demons, devils in thy name. A man may be given power to cast out demons. I know the sons of Sceva had a measure of that here in the book of Acts chapter 19. A man may be given power to cast out demons, yet himself be demon-possessed. Judas, I'm sure, cast out demons, yet he was the son of perdition himself. So casting out devils or having a measure of that is no success, no guarantee for salvation. And thirdly, they said, in thy name have we done many wonderful works. They were zealous and busy. They had an iron in the fire day and night. Night and day they were zealous of all their religious activities. Now listen to me carefully. Being justified freely by the grace of God will bring a man to glory without works. But works will never bring a man to glory without grace in his soul. You see, my friend, we're justified not by works, not even by the works of the law. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice carefully, these people put the whole of their confidence, the whole confidence of their salvation upon what they did. It's what we have done. We have preached, and we have cast out demons, and we have done many wonderful works. They put the whole of their confidence upon what they did rather than boasting and resting and bragging upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they didn't say what Christ has done, how He earned salvation for us, how Christ had put away our sin with His blood. They were rather confident of what they had done rather than resting in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they went a long way in religion, but they didn't know the gospel. Secondly is this. They kept up this disguise of false pretense and false religion a long time. They clung to their false hopes right to the end. They were so blinded by their own self-righteousness that they never considered that they might be lost. And we're instructed in the Word of God to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. My friend, if I'm deceived, I want to know now, don't you? I don't want to live a life being deceived and die defending a false profession of religion and die deceived and face God in that terrible day of judgment proclaiming all the works that I have done and hear Him say to me, depart, I don't know you. Now lastly, let's consider this. Thirdly, these false professors had their refuge exposed in a most terrible way. Look at verse 23. The Lord, He said, then I will profess unto them, those who bragged on their works, who bragged on their deeds, who bragged on themselves. He said, I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the Lord of glory, unto whom all judgment is committed, publicly, openly, before men and angels, pronounces and passes judgment, eternal judgment upon these men. Now he says three things, and I'll give you these 3 points in closing. The first thing he says, I never knew you. Now what does this mean? Certainly as God, omniscient, and that means he knows all things. He knew all about their person. He knew all about them. He knew their works. He knew their thoughts. He knew their motive, how they viewed all things. Nothing is hid from Almighty God. We read in the book of Hebrews that in chapter 4, verse 13, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knew all about them, their works, their motives, their thoughts afar off. But the meaning here is this. Now, he knew all about them, but when he says, I never knew you, here's what this means. This means I never loved you. I never had intimate, covenant relationship with you as a son of God. I never saved you. I never redeemed you. I never died for you. I never knew you as my sheep. I never knew you as mine elect. I never married you in a covenant grace. I never died for you. I didn't die to put away your sin. This is what he's saying. I never knew you in that covenant, intimate relationship as shepherd and savior. The second thing he says, depart from me. Now this is eternal separation from the very presence of God. Isn't this an awesome judgment of God? I never knew you, and depart from me. This is eternal separation from the very presence of God and any hope of any further blessings being cut off from God. It is his presence that makes heaven to be what it is. Even so, it's his absence that makes hell so awful. Depart from me. I never knew you. And then lastly, here's the reason. You that work iniquity. You say, well, they preached. He calls it iniquity. They bragged on casting out devils and doing good works. He said, away with it. It's iniquity. You know, we read in Scripture that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64. How good does one need to be accepted of God? You ever consider that? How good do I need to be accepted of God? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity, who has never sworn deceitfully, we read in Psalm 24. How good does one have to be accepted of God? Let me tell you, friend, listen to me carefully, as good as God himself. We say that's impossible. With you and I in the flesh, I hope you know it's so. I hope you know that with the deeds of the flesh, no man can please God. No man can satisfy God. I hope you know and realize in your heart that salvation is not by our works. You see, with God only is salvation possible. We only, and our only hope of salvation is being accepted in the Beloved, accepted in another, being found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, oh, that I may count all things but dung and loss, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the only hope any sinner has in a day of that awesome and awful judgment is to be found resting in the person and work and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture. And here's the believer's hope. I'll close by reading a portion of Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that's the sinner's only hope, to be found in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.